All right. Good evening, and we want to welcome all of you all to tonight's SMB Learning Center. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us as we go back over our week, our previous week, which was I love you, but I can't say I do. So tonight is Learning Center time, time for you all to dive right in and share with us your scriptures, your testimonies, your weekend reviews, just so that we can see how God has touched you with these messages. So without further ado, we're going to go ahead and hand it over to our leader, Mr. Tellius Carr.
All righty. Thank you, Ms. Candy. And I thank everybody for being on the call tonight as we dive into this. This is our Learning Center. You know, again, as Ms. Candy just said, you know, so you can share, you know, what God has blessed you with. You know, wisdom is always a blessing. Knowledge is always a blessing. So it's good to impart some of that, what you learned, you know, on others. So we all can share in that, something that we can have that aha moment, too, about, okay? So with that being said, let us pray first, and then we're going to dive right into it. So right where you are, go ahead and close your eyes, bow your heads, and open up your hearts. Father God, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for the opportunity, Father God, to walk the face of this earth, Father God. You say, let it be done on earth as it is done in heaven. So we thank you for giving us that opportunity. We ask, we beg, Father God, we plead you for your forgiveness, Father God, of the sins that we know of and the ones that we don't, Father. As we just dive into a deeper love, Father God, a deeper reverence of you, Father God, we ask that we turn away from those things that are unpleasing to you, Father God, those impure thoughts, those impure ways, Father God. We ask that our next step, our next thought, Father God, be one of peace, one of love, Father God, and one that we can rub off on others, Father God. We thank you for all that you have sustained us through today. We thank you for the vision. We thank you for the wisdom, Father God. We pray for wisdom right now. We pray for that, Father God, that you give us the divine wisdom that you want us to have, Father God, that we see things your way, truly in its true essence. That's what wisdom is, being able to properly handle things, dividing the word rightly here on earth in such a manner in which you would approve. We thank you for our families and our friends, Father God. And, Father God, ultimately, we thank you for choosing us. In the precious name of Jesus, let everyone say amen.
Amen.
Right. So with that being said, Ms. Candy, you want to take it
away? Oh, sure. Well, for me, it's always a privilege to go back and look at what the previous week was all about. And one of the things that really, really, really stuck with me is I love you, but I can't say I do because I'm not equipped to carry what is required. And when we think about that statement, it's when we're putting ourselves in a position where we want to take everything on and we don't remember that nothing is impossible with God. We say, I'm not equipped. God, you want me to do this, this, or this. And I love you, but I can't say I do to the task that you've placed in front of me because I don't feel like I'm equipped. It's not God telling us that we're not equipped. It's we're Xing ourselves out of the equation. So when we think about, I love you, but I can't say I do, how many times are we Xing ourselves out? Because truly, God is positioning us to do more and more, greater and greater works for him. But we're saying, well, I don't have this or I don't have that. I can't speak out over people, so I can't do the thing that you're calling me to do. Well, I love you, Lord, but this lady gets on my nerves. Whatever it is that we're saying to God, that but, it really X's out the I love you part, because when you think about it, if we love him, if we are truly willing to be wholeheartedly committed to him, then we're not going to say, I love you, but we're going to say, I love you. Help me to complete this task. I love you. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? So really when we take stock of ourselves, when we think about where we are with God, then we can get to the point to where we're beyond that but, and we're saying, I love you, and I will do all of the things that you've placed before me. So that's just one of the things that I'm going to share tonight. But I want to remind everyone on the call to chime in, simply hit *5, and we will get your question, your comment, your scripture, whatever it is that you have to share tonight. And I promise you, I'm going to come back with something else later, but I already have a hand raised for tonight, so I'm going to go ahead with my first caller. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your comment for this evening. All right. We had a caller there.
Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm sorry. Good evening. I wanted to share. I was tuned in, and this was at the end of last night's call. One of the things that was really profound for me throughout the entire message, everything was very informative, but there was a question that you posed about the guy with the girlfriend of a few years and never hearing the words, I love you. And for me, from a personal aspect, that was very, very helpful in itself, and as well as the answer, because this is something that I've been, you know, wanting an answer to for quite some time, and not in a relationship with a boyfriend, but just with someone in my family. And I have also been walking hand in hand with someone that's been dealing with the same thing. So I could not hang up fast enough to call this person and say, hey, this is what was talked about, and this is the answer that was given, and just how we went forward in talking about that, and also how to deal with that going forward, but just, you know, helping us personally and how to deal with that. And something that Mr. Carr would always say is, you have to bring peace to a situation. You have to bring love to a situation, you know, bring the kindness, bring all these things that God would have us to do, and, you know, not just sit around and wait for it. So, and that also goes hand in hand with something else that was mentioned that really helped me is, do we confess to God more than we ask? So, you know, we love God and we go to God and we know that He loves us. And we're, you know, asking for all these things in prayer, but when are we actually confessing? So that was something else for me, a little bit of conviction, because I realized that lately I've just been asking for a lot of things rather than, confessing the things that, you know, we need to go to God with and just, you know, give it to Him and let Him have His way with the situation. So those were just two of the things out of everything else that was so profound, but two of those things that really stood out for me.
All right. Thank you so much for that. One of the things I want to say for, in case there were people who were not there with us, a part of the question was, there was a young man and he's been in a relationship for a couple years, and he was wondering if that relationship had a future if his girlfriend had never expressed verbally that she loved him. And we talked about briefly how just saying I love you is not the only way to know that a person loves you. People love in different ways. They show it in their actions and the simple little things that they do and care for you. So it's not a matter of the person doesn't love me because they don't say I love you. So we have to think about that too. And even so, always in our relationship with God, we can say that we love God and then do something completely different. So it's not just about the verbiage. It's do your actions line up with that verbiage. So he was in a situation where he was not receiving the verbiage, but 2 years later, and knowing the situation, I know that he is shown love even though those words aren't spoken. So just a little caution there to not take it as it always has to be, I love you, I love you, I love you, because we can say that and not truly back it up with our actions.
Exactly. And that's very important that we understand that, because the Bible actually speaks of that. You know, when he talked about the parable, it's in Matthew chapter 21. Go back and read that. You know, the parable of the two sons. You know, and they both had devout love for the father. One son said he would. The other son didn't say he would. He wouldn't. It just so happened the one who said he would, he didn't.
Right.
But the one who said he wouldn't, he did.
Exactly.
That's very important because, you know, a lot of times, and I need everybody to hear this as we talk about even with this topic in our week in review, don't put so much emphasis on what people say, per se. I mean, that has some significance, but that's not the tell-all. Because if so, you may stumble across a good devil who will tell you everything that you want to hear.
Yes.
Y'all follow me?
Mm-hmm.
So, now, I know it's easy for us to evaluate others and say, that's right, amen, and all that. But that also applies to us. Because we tell God we love him, but God say, I'm going to take your words and throw them and push them to the side. I ain't going to throw them away. But God says, you know how you tell people, if you love me, you do this? God say, I got one for you. If you love me, listen to what he said. He didn't say you was going to praise me. He didn't say you was going to, he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You know what the word keep means? That means you would hold on to. Do you know what it means, hold on to? That means you would obey me. You would do them.
Yes.
It has nothing to do with your lip service. So you can say, I love you, God, all day. That does not move God. You know what moves God? Keeping his commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Doing what he called you to do. So, with that being said, do not get caught up in our elementary form of thinking and say, well, they don't tell me they love me, they don't love me. You know, that's your little hypothetical. Everybody expresses themselves differently. Again, do not be caught up in bigotry as if your way is the only way to express love.
Amen.
Okay? And that is the growing synopsis where Satan tears down a great infrastructure because we're so caught up by saying, well, they should be doing this. But that's not how they express love. If that's how they express love, let them express love the way, just like you express love, the way you express love to God. What if somebody calls you to the front of the church and say, dance around, show them that you love God? That ain't your thing. So does that mean you don't love God since you didn't dance?
Amen.
All right. All right, Ms. Yeah. Candy.
Well, and we did have some people who are just joining us, so please, if you have something to share this evening, hit *5, and we will get you on the line. And here we are with our very next caller. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for the evening.
Absolutely. And just to piggyback off of what was just shared, one area of scripture that really stood out for me this week is when we look at after Jesus' resurrection, and he went to the disciples, I believe they were on the beach trying to catch fish, and he was speaking to Peter, and he asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And Peter answered yes, you know, different ways each time. But Jesus then said to him, well, if you love me, then feed my sheep. And what was so profound in that for me is what came after, seeing Peter actually in action. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit was poured into them that he can actually do exactly what God, what Jesus had called him to do. He was being active in his love. It brings to mind when he was up against the Pharisees. The entire time he walked with Jesus, anytime the Pharisees came against them, the religious leaders, anytime they came against them, Jesus spoke. None of the disciples spoke. Jesus spoke. Jesus had the knowledge of God's word to respond back to everything that they had to say. But Peter was, it was poured into him. And if he didn't love Jesus Christ the way that he announced those 3 times and fulfilled on not worrying about, am I saying what is supposed to be said? Am I saying it right? He was able to receive exactly what God called him to say, and he was just completely active. He was, his I do was seen far and beyond. He truly fed Jesus' sheep everything that God called him to do. So that was something that really stood out for me this week, and how we, here is an example of someone who took on that action of love and that God called him to do. That's all I have.
Thank you so much. And just as a reference point, the story that she was talking about is found in John 21, and it starts at verse 15. So if you want to go back and read about that, go to John 21 and start reading at verse 15. I also read about that this week, and I thought it was so interesting because it kind of parallels what happened before Jesus was actually killed. So good reading in John 21. So we have another caller. We're going to go ahead to our next caller. Good evening, caller. Go ahead with your question or comment for this evening.
Good evening. What came to mind to me was a lot of times when we are faced with temptations and we know it's wrong, we'll often say, because I know I've said it, I'm just going to be honest, I will ask God for forgiveness because we know that he'll forgive us. But that saying, I love you, but I can't say I do. What scripture that came to me, that actually God gave to me when I was trying to think about, I was thinking about this all day, was Romans 6, and it's 15 through 23, but I'm not going to read all of it. It just says, what then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. And then it goes on all the way to Scripture 23, but it just brought to mind how we say, I love you, but we can't say I do.
Yes, ma'am, and thank you for that. Again, her scripture that she referenced was Romans 6, 15 through 23. And when we give out these scriptures, make sure that you go back and read them, because it's not just that we're saying, hey, this is what's in the Bible. As we learn and as we grow, we have to make sure that we take on this reading, this studying, and truly understanding what the Word says for ourselves. So another thing that I wanted to share from the previous week was from our Golden Points last night. On each one of our calls, we always have something that is different, even if that topic is the same. And last night, towards the end of the call, Mr. Carr gave us some Golden Points. And one of them that really, really, really stuck home for me was our commitment to God must be consistent. And I thought about that because in the world, we think of love as something that has ebbs and flows, and that's not true with God. God loves us the same every single day. So when we say, I love you to him, we have to be consistent. We can't take it on the way that the world takes it on. And when I say the world, this is self-inclusive, because we've all done it, been in situations where we even say things like, I love you more at this point in the relationship, or I love you less because of something that you did. But our commitment, our love declaration to God, it has to be consistent. It cannot be, you know, I'm going to love God in a certain way, and then if I feel different or if he does something extra for me, I love you and I'm saying I do to you. And that's the same every single day, just like we receive that love from him the same every single day. So just a little something from our Sunday night call on I love you, but I can't say I do.
Yes, that was really good, Ms. Brandy. I like that, you know, sharing that scripture, because a lot of times we don't realize that we can totally be entranced and enslaved by sin. And we, none of us, you know, because of pride, you know, we view ourselves as worthy and others as not so worthy. That's flesh nature, okay? And we all tend to be guilty of that. But, yes, you can be a slave to sin. It can be your master.
Yes, sir.
You know, it doesn't matter how much you go to church. It doesn't matter how much you open your Bible. You have kids go to school every day and still flunk.
Yes, sir.
This is why the Bible says, and all you get and get an understanding. So when you say you love me, understand what you're saying. This is why it's important that we not blame our parents and we start this thing off the right way so we can teach those behind us. Because we easily say, well, I was taught this way and they didn't teach me right. But what about you? You know better now.
Mm-hmm.
So start to break it down to children, so that they can understand what love is. They're going to see your love for God through the way that you carry out and live your daily lives.
That's true.
And things shift in them. Okay? Now, that's very important. We see it all the time. This is, we get so emotional. Now, this is one of the things, we get emotional, Miss Candy, and we celebrate, but God does not celebrate.
Yes.
So we have these things where we have children out of wedlock, and we say God loves children. Yes, he do, but he doesn't love how it got there if it is outside of marriage. So why are you celebrating something that God does not celebrate? He celebrates the child. Why are you throwing a party? You're encouraging people to keep on having kids outside of marriage. But God, I love you, though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How you love God and you celebrating something that he don't?
Amen.
Open the door. If you want to go ahead and talk about that, talk about that, because a lot of people have a problem with that. But my thing is, you think God is going to celebrate your sin? Oh, the child has nothing. See, the child is innocent when in this situation. Okay? But if that's the case, when your child, if your child does something wrong, you know, and let's just say, hypothetically speaking, they don't graduate, they straight us, are you going to throw them a graduation party?
Right.
Right? We get caught up in emotions, and this is why the perpetual wheel keeps on going.
It's true.
Because you celebrate the things that God doesn't celebrate, yet we say we love God. But how is that loving God and not saying, hey, I love you, I'm going to support that child, but I'm not condoning what happened. We ain't having no baby shower. We're just going to love on baby when baby get here, what you need. But I'm not about to say, no. It's not going to happen. But see, we get caught up in man's tradition. And what does the Bible say about man's tradition? The tradition of man has nullified the power of God. You can't even go to that person and correct that person because you're celebrating the person's wrong.
Hmm. Amen. Yes.
But Mr. Carholder, we all sin. Okay, check me when I do mine too.
Mm-hmm.
Only way we can get better. All
right.
And I know we don't like to hear that because we want to celebrate, we celebrate divorces nowadays, foolery.
Mm.
We have a divorce party. We have all this other stuff. We party about anything. All for the sake of having fun as opposed to saying, I do to God.
Yes.
We'll put something cute with a child on the internet because they know how to dance. They can learn a 5-minute dance routine to the T, and they can be synchronized children under 5 years old, but can't learn one scripture from the Bible, and you think that's cute.
Yes.
Hmm. Okay. What else you got, Miss Candy?
When you went there with the baby showers and all that, yeah. I appreciate the fact that we bring these things to the forefront because we all have had experiences that are worldly experiences, and until we talk about them, until we actually say, hey, this is what it really is, then we can't get past that. So I just appreciate you bringing that to the forefront. But then also wanting to remind us about the I love you to God and how it's different than the I love you that we're so accustomed to. And the I love you to God, when God hears I love you, he hears I love you and I do. Even if we are of the mindset, I love you, but I can't say I do. And as I talked about last night, the reason for that is because when God loves us, it's 100%, it's wholehearted. He's all in, so he's expecting the same thing. It's I love you and I will do your will. I love you and I will keep your commands. I love you and I will follow after what you say. So we've separated it in our relationship with him, but it's not separate to him. When we approach God and we think about God loves me, we don't think about God loves me in one box and the things that he says I do to concerning us in a different box. Yet we put ourselves in a situation where we go to him with I love you in one box and put everything else in a separate box. And if we're going to be more like him, we have to stop that. We can't keep separating it and thinking about things the way that, like you said, we've been taught or it's always been a certain way, so this is the way that we do it. When truly, we have to start thinking about it the way that God thinks about it, because if not, we're just spinning our wheels, going through the motions, and we're not going to end up in a situation where we find ourselves with him if we can't right now go ahead and be like him. So we got to think about that, really got to think about that, and it's really, really important that instead of placing ourselves in the situation of what we've always known, let's place ourselves in the position of what does God always say, because his word never changes. The times may change, but the word does not.
Exactly, and that's excellent. Okay, do we have anybody with other hands raised?
We do not have any more hands raised this evening, sir.
Not a problem. And one of the things that we definitely want to, as we talk about...
As soon as I said that, a hand was raised. All right. Go ahead, caller, with your comment or question for this evening.
It wasn't really a question. It was more of a comment. On the point where you said that we don't think of ourselves, we don't think of ourselves of the way that God loves us as separate. I have to disagree with that. We do think of the way that God loves us as separate from the way that we, I'm going to say it like this. We think that God loves us, but we put ourselves in a different box because we say that he loves us, he just doesn't love our sin. So we're saying that, yes, he does love me, and no, he doesn't love our sin. But because he loves me, he's going to overlook my sin, and he's going to do what I ask him to just because he loves me, as opposed to, well, God loves me, and he doesn't love my sin. So I'm not going to do the sin that I wanted to do because God doesn't love that. So we will look at it in two separate boxes and still try to live life as if God is in two separate boxes.
We're in agreement. That's pretty much the same thing I said, just in an opposite way of looking at it. And what I'm saying is we can't continue to do that because that's not what he actually does. God is looking at us, and he's saying, I love you, and I'm going to do these things regardless. It's not a contingent on something that we do. We don't earn God's love. God loved us first. So the difference there is we put the contingencies and all of this stuff on it, but God loved us before we were even formed. So there was no contingency, and God knows everything. So he knew that you were going to fight. He knew that you were going to curse. He knew that whatever it was that we all individually do, he already knew those things, and he still said, I love you. I'm going to watch after you. I'm going to shepherd your life. So with him, it's not a either or. It's I love you, period. With us, we're the ones that make the two different boxes. God didn't put us in two different boxes. That's a choice that we're making. So, but thank you, because that was just another way to look at that same point.
That's excellent, because one of the things about God, we must realize heaven is not based on how much God loves us. Heaven is based on how much we love God. It's presented for everyone. So the way we get to heaven is by us loving God. He continues to do his part. He can do nothing but love. But the reason why he said the road to hell is broad and many will travel it is because a lot of times we give God the lip service and we don't commit to him, although he has committed to us.
Right.
So his part, in other words, he's standing at the altar. The altar is heaven. Okay. So those who commit to going to heaven have to commit to his ways. Hence, Jesus came to do things God's way. It's not a political debate. It's simple and plain. It's not hard. Okay? When we love God, we do what God says. You can argue till your teeth fall out. Talk about I love God, yet you over there doing acting a fool. Well, take that up with him.
Right.
Because he has clearly defined what committing to him is. Now, one of the things that I do want us to share right quick before we get off the phone. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I saw this article, and it was very interesting, and it talked about, like, the four reasons why people don't commit. And I thought it was interesting, but it actually applies. to even why we don't commit to God. One of the reasons is, number one, it says that we are individualistic and prideful.
Yeah.
In other words, we are afraid of being dependent on another person. In this case, we are afraid of being dependent upon God. Now, I know our rationale would say, but I do depend on God. I do depend on God. Well, if you really depended on God, why then do we go after people for certain things?
Amen.
If I were total, if I depend on Candy, why am I going after Tiana? So if we really depend on God, why are we going after people for other things? Why are we looking to be validated through relationships and validated by the I love yous? If you got it from God already, why are you crying?
Amen.
So that was number one. Why we don't fully, because we are individualistic and we are prideful. Yes, full of pride. Number two, it said we are not as courageous as we used to be.
That's good.
You know, back in the day, we used to love God so much. In other words, we stepped out on faith back in the day. We was bound for God in every sense of the word. There's nothing that can stop my faith and hope. Now as we get older, we experience different things. Now we really don't love, or we don't have no hope and hope. We don't know. Love don't live here no more. You don't trust nobody, get alone trusting God. Why we don't trust God? Because, you know, this happened to my loved one. That happened to my job. So, God, where you was then? Where were you? But at one point in time, no matter what happened, you was all in with God. So we have these commitment issues because we're not, you know, as courageous as we used to be in God, because God allows things to come your way. Temptations to come your way to see where you really are. Okay? Number three. This is a good one right here, Miss Candy. Reason why we don't want to fully commit to God by saying I do is because we feel, we like to feel free. If that ain't the truth.
Yes, it is.
We want to feel free. In other words, being Christian puts me in a box. I go, oh Lord, why? I can't wear certain things. I can't talk a certain, I can't be me. In other words, y'all remember what I said last night? How can you change something that you worship? If you worship yourself, how can you change your old ways?
All right.
In other words, I tell people, stop talking about doing you and start doing God. Christianity is doing God, not doing you.
Yes, sir.
Doing you is going to send you straight to hell. Doing you is not acceptable unto God. Doing God is acceptable to God. This is why he called us a Christian, Christ-like. Well, Mr. Carr, doing me is being like God. Exactly. That means you being like him. Do him.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the third thing. We like to feel free. We think that serving God is bondage. I got to go to church this day. I got to go to that church. I don't have time for all that. I want to go to church when I want to. I can pray in my prayer closet. I don't have to fellowship with nobody. I don't have to. But then we'll say all that about God, but then you spend 40 hours going where they tell you to go.
All right.
At your job. Wow. Hold on, Ms. Kelly. Now, I don't know if everybody really caught that real quick, so I'm going to rewind that. You spend 40 hours going where money tell you to go, but you won't spend 3 to 4 hours a week going where God tell you to go.
Yes.
That job tell you to sit at that desk for 8 hours? Guaranteed you're going to sit at that desk for 8 hours. How much you want to bet? How much you got on? But we want to feel free. This is why we don't want to commit to God, because I want to be able to cuss when I want to cuss. I want to be able to stunt when I want to stunt. If somebody get on my nerves, I want to give them peace of my mind, because I'm outspoken. I want to be able to do that. In other words, I don't want the burden of representing him all the time. Sunday to Wednesday, I got you. In other words, I'm part-time, not full-time. Because
mm-hmm.
Saturday, boy, we had a call on Saturday. Ain't nobody on that call, huh? Because we all doing us.
All right.
I would have been on that missed call. Uh-huh. But you ain't had nothing else to do with your business. I mean, you're free, huh? So we want, so that's number three. Number four, we don't realize we are already free.
Yes.
God set the captives free already. You are so free, yet we are afraid to commit to God. You already set free. In other words, when Jesus rose, no more bondage was set in place.
That's right.
Already free. You free so much that God has given you something called a free will. Meaning you can live your life exactly how you want to live it.
Yes.
You can choose to follow him, meaning commit to him and say I do, or you can choose to do it your way. Your choice. But God said as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. See, when you saying I don't wanna, that means you ain't in his house, because when you're in his house, you gonna.
Yes, sir.
So now you understand that when we keep on fighting against it, you ain't in the house. Because he said, as far as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, you got to be in his house to understand that rule. And this is the reasons why we don't commit to God. Because, again, we don't even realize that we are already free. You have so much freedom in God. You are free to love. You're free to forgive. You're free to pray. You're free to cast out demons. You're free to really mean it. You're free to worship. You're free to just bring unity to the situation. You're free to avoid arguments. See, we have this gene in us where we want to argue. I disagree. But what do you agree about?
Yes, sir.
I'm listening. I'm waiting. Because we want to disagree on everything, but you never give a person a compliment. We can talk an hour. And Mr. Carr, I disagree with you on that one. But golly, the man just said 55 minutes worth of stuff. What do you agree on? Goodness. Do y'all get it?
Yes, sir.
But at the end of the day, God said, commit to me. And if you commit to me, there's nothing that I have to do more. Then thine eyes will be opened. And say that freedom is all about you. In other words, now you can proceed and live that successful life that I called you to live. Meaning success not in money and tangible items, meaning success in touching lives and letting people know that I'm real. And how people know that I'm real? It's just like how a child respects the other parent. When one parent respects the other parent, that child gonna follow suit.
Yes, sir.
So when you respect God, everybody else around you got to respect God. And if they don't respect God, they're not going to be in your presence for too long, are they?
True.
All righty. Ms. Candy, you want to go ahead and pray for us? That's all we have? Any callers?
No, sir. We are clear for tonight.
Ready? Go ahead and pray for us, please.
All right. Lord, we thank you for gathering us together again tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just reflect on the word that you gave us this week, Lord, an opportunity to share and grow one with the other, Lord. Lord, we thank you so much for each and every caller who was assembled tonight. Lord, we pray that the families that are represented here will be touched by this word, Lord, that each and every person on the line will not keep it for themselves, but that they will go out and share your word with others. Lord, we pray that you will keep us all safe until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Y'all have a great night. We'll see y'all on Wednesday.
All right. Good night.